Political leaders from across India gathered in the city of Calcutta today for the funeral of a man known as the Patriarch of Indian Marxism. When Jati Basu died this past weekend, he was 95. He was one of India's most prominent politicians and one of the world's longest-serving elected communist leaders. These days, capitalism and consumerism are sweeping across India, but as NPR's Philip Reeves reports, Calcutta is one of the last bastions of Marxism.
Calcutta's a city addicted to politics. Hundreds of grubby red flags bearing the communists' hammer and sickle flutter by the side of the road leading from the airport. You don't have to drive far before you run into a Marxist with a bullhorn. A few miles down the road, someone else is making a speech. This time it's one of the communists' political foes. He's undeterred by the traffic, the mustard yellow taxis and grimy buses, the bullocks and bikes, all battling to carve a path through yet another jam. That scene, a couple of days ago, is what it's like on pretty much any average day in Calcutta. That's why they say politics runs in the veins of the city. That's why some people call it the Red Fortress. Today, though, was different than most. Today, the city paused in its stride for the funeral of Jyoti Basu, the man India's media calls the King of the Communists. Calcutta is capital of the state of West Bengal. For 23 years, Basu was West Bengal's chief minister, in charge of a communist-led coalition that's still in power. From afar, West Bengal may seem pretty remote. On the map, you'll find it tucked into a corner of eastern India, next to Bangladesh, on a fertile sweep of land where the Ganges flows out into the Bay of Bengal. Yet it's one of the most economically important parts of the region, the gateway to East Asia, including China. The population's roughly the same as Germany's, more than 80 million. The people of West Bengal are fond of saying they can pick out an intellectual from 100 yards. They almost consider intellectuals to be a class in their own right. In this coffee shop, there seem to be quite a few. Bespectacled figures, hair swept back, earnestly holding forth around the tables. Among them is Chandrasekhar Bhattacharya, a writer and journalist. The conversation turns to why there is, in West Bengal, such a strong tradition of leftist politics.
The first English education, first newspaper, first college, first university of India, first printed book came up in Bengal. It was more developed, more intellectual.
This particular coffee shop's run by a cooperative, as you'd perhaps expect in this left-leaning city. Yet the waiters are wearing the same faded white livery and crested turbans that their predecessors wore when Calcutta was capital of Britain's Indian Empire. West Bengal has a long and painful colonial history. Bhattacharya thinks that's what created the region's leftist leaders.
They understood the problem. They started the revolt against the colonies, whether it is Portuguese, whether it's French or British. They fought it.
This produced an unusual phenomenon. Upper-class Indian intellectuals, often educated at Oxford and Cambridge, espousing the cause of the proletariat. India's media gave wall-to-wall coverage to Basu's funeral today, filling the airwaves with fulsome tributes. He was one of the most prominent Indian politicians since the country gained independence some six decades ago. He knew Nehru, one of India's founding fathers, and was a friend of Nehru's daughter, former Prime Minister Indira Gandhi. He knew the Soviet leader, Leonid Brezhnev, and Cuba's Fidel Castro. He met Vietnam's Ho Chi Minh, after whom Basu and his comrades named a Calcutta street. It wasn't by chance that they chose the street where the US consulate's located. In the mid-90s, Basu nearly became India's prime minister. Yet he was a contradictory figure, a patrician disliked by Marxist ideologues for his pragmatism and disliked by capitalist ideologues for his Marxism. Abhirup Sarkar, a political and economic analyst, says Basu will be remembered for the early stages of his stint in office, particularly for land reforms.
His main achievements were agricultural development, empowerment, social empowerment for the poor, and also a green revolution based on high-yielding variety rice.
Sarkar believes those achievements were offset by failure.
Industry was totally destroyed. There was militant trade unionism. Firms, the enterprises, the companies, they left Bengal, one after the other.
Basu belonged to what's called the CPIM, the Communist Party of India, Marxist. The party's been in power in West Bengal for 33 years, winning 7 elections in a row. Many observers predict it'll finally be defeated in next year's elections. It's been severely damaged by supporting several bloody attempts to push farmers and tribal people off their land to make way for big industrial projects. In the party offices, you still find all the famous faces. There are pictures of Marx, Lenin and Stalin. Debabratu Bandyopandhyay, a retired government official, says the party abandoned Marx and Lenin a long time ago. But he says the hardline party faithful have not forgotten Stalin. In fact, he says they openly admire the Soviet dictator and his violent methods.
They consider themselves as Stalinists because they think Stalin is a great god. Violence to them is something very noble.
Something very...
very noble, noble. It's nothing horrendous about it, very noble. Nothing unethical.
I think it is sinister. It is sinister, yes.
Abhirup Sarkar says the Communist Party exercises a worrying degree of autocratic control right across the spectrum, from villages to universities.
Those things are controlled by the party entirely.
University positions, police?
Oh, yes.
Health service?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Health, education, administration. These are the three things. Those are completely dominated by the party, completely.
What about Jyoti Basu? Analysts tend to portray him as an astute, aloof and skilled administrator, but not as a tyrant. Siddhartha Shankar Ray, a former Indian ambassador to the US, was a political opponent of Basu's, but also a very close friend.
Some of them were Stalinists. Jyoti was a Stalinist to start with, but that doesn't matter. Whether he was a Stalinist or a Leninist, whatever it was, it didn't matter. He was Jyoti Basu, a very fine man. And the man that I love, still love.
Philip Reeves, NPR News, New Delhi.
And you're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.